Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com. That's PolicyGenius.com.
Welcome back in, everybody, to a Football Friday edition of Birds 365 here on Jacob Sports, your number one Philadelphia Eagles show, going live all through the offseason, leading you into the NFL draft. We'll cover OTAs, minicamp, the offseason program, which we gave you the update on at the start of the show. For those who missed it, first day of the Eagles offseason program will be April 21st. OTAs are scheduled for May 27th, 28th, May 30th, June 2nd and 3rd, and then June 5th. And then mandatory minicamp is one day, June 10th. And John, if I'm not mistaken, right, the only team with a day of mandatory minicamp, is that correct?
Yeah, only team with one day. And hey, previously the Eagles have skipped minicamp completely, so it's not a new thing. But yeah, everybody else is going at least 2 or 3 days. But hey. The Eagles are the Super Bowl champions, so yeah,
they can do what they want.
I wouldn't get too wrapped up in one day of minicamp.
No, not a bad thing.
Other than, we don't get to see. We get to see minicamp in a lot of ways. I think that's part of it, too, because we get to see the whole minicamp practice. And we only get to see one of them. We don't get to see three of them. We can make more grandiose judgments on where the team is.
Good stuff there, Johnny Mac. John, I do want to ask you about the topic that Jeffrey Lurie broached, okay? Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman are both due for a contract. I don't think we'll know when Howie gets
here. I think Howie already got one.
He might have already got it, yeah. Based on the way Lurie spoke, he might have already gotten it, but you don't really learn it. We don't find out anything about the GM.
He never talks about it. He says that. It's true. He never talks about contracts.
Yeah.
But I once asked him about Roger Goodell. In his contract, being he wouldn't even talk about that. Forget about in-house people. So he never talks about contracts publicly. But he did say, you'll find out, I believe his wording was, you'll find out soon enough. Which means, if anybody thinks Nick Sirianni's not getting an extension, he's getting an extension.
Oh, no, that's not the question here. He's getting the extension. The question will be, where will it fall? What does it show, and who's got more leverage? Because, you brought up, or I think it was BLG who originally brought it up. This is an organization that believes that their philosophy, is what wins them games, whether it's right or it's wrong, starting to get
that was that. Me. I don't want people to get mad at BLG because.
Hold on, but didn't BLG bring up like he's wondering if they'll value, or was that you? It might have been you.
He agreed with me.
Okay, he agreed with you, so.
But I'm the one stirring the pot. And by that, I only mean, look, he's going to be the highest paid coach in the NFL.
So he's getting over 20. That was my question. You think he's getting over?
I don't know about 20. I
think Andy gets 20, right?
I don't know. But again, it's very hard to get coaching contract information. Yeah, so. So, I don't know what Andy gets. My assumption is he'll be the highest paid coach. Maybe if there is an outlier like that and he does make 20, all right, maybe he's number two. I don't know. It's going to be hard to confirm that. Just that information's not out there. Generally, you get reports like the report eventually came out that he makes $7 million and everybody defaults to it. And even I've done that, but I try to explain. I don't know, though. I mean, that's the reports that he makes $7 million, which is very low, even though obviously it's a nice way to make a living. But, he's going to get a hell of a lot more than that is how I'll phrase it. And I think it's coming very soon, It's one of those things where the Eagles want to get all their ducks in a row. Same thing with the retirement press conferences. If you remember when they gave Jalen Hurts his extension, big thing, big ceremonial thing. They'll do that with Nick as well.
Oh, you think they will? They won't? You don't think they'll do it in the shadows a little bit?
No, they'll announce the extension for the head coach. And they'll play it up. I'm not saying the money. They're not going to announce the money.
Right, but they'll say we've extended Nick Sirianni. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what Jeffrey said. You'll find out soon enough, which is a clear indication to me that it's going to happen pretty soon. Probably before April 21st, if I were a betting man.
Okay. So it could be coming up very soon with the Nick Sirianni contract. John, you floated the highest paid coach. I don't know, man.
Well, I don't even know who the highest
paid coach is. I know. It's hard to tell, but the reports are like Tomlin's around $16 million. Andy, I think, was around $20 million was the report. McVay's in that $15 range. Like, and these new coaches. I mean,
well, it's the same thing.
Cohen, it was reported Liam Cohen got $14 million, John.
Well, he's definitely getting more than Liam Cohen. But I take those numbers with a grain of salt. But it's the same thing from the player perspective of Trey McBride's the highest paid tight end. Why? Because he's up.
Yeah.
Nick happens to be up coming off the Super Bowl. That's not luck because he's a big part of it, but that's a good place to be up.
Yeah, that's true. I just wonder if, you know, they're like, hey, man, Nick.
Now, where I said what I brought up to BLG, because this happened with Doug. When it comes to the dark rooms and by themselves, I think that Howie and Jeffrey think they're more responsible than Doug or Nick.
I agree with that 100%.
And now, that is my assessment of the situation. BLG agreed with it. And what I'm saying is that puts more pressure on Nick Sirianni moving forward because in their mind, they'll say, well, we can do this. If they lose next year, if they lose, and by lose, I mean not win the Super Bowl, next couple of seasons, they might start saying very quickly, hey, you know what? We can get the same return on investment at $8-9 million as $20 million.
Would they be right?
In their minds, they'd be right.
I don't think they'd be right. But, you know, it brings up my question. And this is more just to, you know, just to have a little bit of fun here. It's a Football Friday. Who's got more leverage? You know, because if you're Nick's
got the leverage.
Are you sure? Because Nick went to two Super Bowls in 3 years and has a top winning percentage in the first 4 years of any coach. But if I'm Jeffrey, I'm looking at him and saying, all right, Nick, you want to go coach on another team? You want to go play for a new general manager? You want to go play with a new roster? You want to go do this with an owner that won't cut the cash like I cut the cash so you got great roster? Go ahead. You want to go try that? Go ahead, Nick. They got leverage too, John.
No, they don't. You're right, but that's not leverage. Is winning the Super Bowl when you're up for an extension. That's leverage.
All right, that's fair.
You're right in your everything you say, and that he you know, if the Eagles wanted to wake up and be hardliners and say what I just said, you know what, we're responsible, you're not responsible, you'll get $10 million and you'll like it. If they wanted to wake up and be that kind of, and they're not, I'm not trying to say that. I'm saying that's for down the road. If they wanted to wake up and be, you're right how you lay it out, and that he's not going to find another situation as desirable to set up winning. But for the short term, he'll get the highest paid contract coming off the Super Bowl.
See, my question of leverage was more about, like, I'm not saying they're not going to get the deal done, but if the agent's like, hey, man, we want 20, and Lurie's like, bro, I'm not giving you more than 15, you're nuts. You know, that's where – who wins, all right? Who wins that battle right there? I think the Eagles would win.
I don't think so. Whatever the real number is, and they know, I don't know. Whatever the real number is – and again, there might be, if Andy's that much of an outlier, all right, maybe number two, whatever it is, one or two is where he's going. And the Eagles know it. They understand it. And they're not by no means am I trying to say they're going to try to lowball him or any of that. I'm talking about the future. If what happens in the new normal with that Doug promise does not come to fruition, then it's going to turn very quickly to return of investment and those types of things. And we could probably do this with the next young Nick Sirianni, that type of thing. And he's going to be more susceptible to taking those hits down the road. But right now, man, you.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
The Eagles don't want to go into next season with a lame duck head coach. They got to get an extension. Jeffrey's already on record saying it's coming.
Yeah, it's coming. It's not. I'm not. When I say this leverage thing, I'm not saying it like, oh, Nick could walk out the door. It's not happening like that. I'm more talking about, like, you know, because look, this is what I saw. I'm not saying this is right, John. I think you're right that some of these reports are a little fuddy. We don't know if they're actually true, but this was the list I saw. Reed at 20, Peyton at 18, Tomlin at 16, Harbaugh 16, McVay at 15. Well, if that's true, where you go? Where's Nick?
Got to go above Peyton. Got to go above Peyton. Maybe you try to lowball him and keep him under Andy because they have such a respect.
Lowball him at $19 million. I don't know if that's a lowball.
You know, maybe you can talk him into, well, Andy's Andy. In his history, not only in the NFL, but in this organization, I talked yesterday how much they respect him to this day. Maybe you can talk him to come in under that, but no fucking way is he going to be under Sean Payton. I'd be stunned.
We'll see what ends up happening. It's going to be interesting to see. But Nick deserves it.
And if any of that is real, I don't know.
Yeah,
don't
know. Again, we did preface it with that, though, so I don't want to mislead people. We don't know if the coaching contracts are all real because they don't really get reported the same way player contracts do. So some of it might be fake news. Some of it might be real news. Who knows? But I do think it's an interesting
I'm surprised thing. McVay is that low.
Yeah, McVay will get a boost soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, so
he's got a television network waiting to pay him $25 million, so he's got leverage on that front.
Yeah, he must have left a couple of years ago.
Really. Yeah, I know. Yeah. And he's like 30. He's like 38. Yeah. He was like 36 when he almost left. But yeah, not good stuff there. We'll see what ends up happening with Nick. I think this is an interesting question here. I'm curious to get John's take on this. Devin, thank you, bro. Devin says, how big of a loss is Nick if we hypothetically lost him, J-Mac?
I think pretty significant, but I do think that this organization is, you know, Jeffrey deserves credit. His history of hiring head coaches is very good.
Yeah.
Even Chip and Ray Rhodes, if people look at that and, you know, they made the playoffs. Now you've reached a different stratosphere where expectations have risen. You can't say, and so many Eagles fans bring up Jalen Hurts' record. Well, then you can't ignore it with Nick Sirianni. I mean, the guy's got the fifth best winning percentage in NFL history, and the only guys ahead of him are, you know, from a different stratosphere when it comes to era. George Allen's, John Madden's of the world, Vince Lombardi's of the world. In the modern era, he is number one. Number one. He is 4-for-4.
Not as big of a sample size, but it is pretty crazy.
4-for-4, what we always talk about in Philadelphia. Nick Sirianni's 4-for-4, and not about his fraudulent love of the other sports teams in town.
Why fraudulent love? Philadelphians can't love other sports teams, John? What the hell?
No, I'm saying Nick's fraudulent love.
He's got a lot of fraudulent
love. Nick's the pander in chief, I've coined him as.
Yes, he is. Yeah. You're right about that.
He's a pirate. He was a Pirates fan growing up. But I don't, you know.
See a Paul but Skeens
it,
guy?
Not that.
I like that Paul Skeens guy. I got can pitch, man.
It's a pure joke, by the way. Don't get upset.
Yeah, no.
But he does pander when it comes to that. But he's 4-for-4. He's made 2 Super Bowls. He's got the best record of all time in the modern era. I mean, yeah, you're taking a step back.
Yeah, and he's the perfect yes man for this organization.
And he's a great
politician.
He's a great politician. Yeah, he's a great politician.
I love that. You coined that. The
thing about leadership is getting people on the same page. He's able to do that. And that's not easy to do.
No, it's not.
Leadership is a way bigger part of that job than what people think. X's and O's and that bullshit.
No doubt about it. Good stuff there, Johnny Mac. Devin, thanks for the question, brother. Good to see everybody in the chat. We will take a couple of your guys' viewer comments here in hour number 2 of the show. It's a Football Friday, everybody. We're 20 days away from the NFL draft, which is coming right up on us here soon. John, last thing I want to talk about before we take some viewer questions, then we'll get into some draft stuff if I don't have any more questions. Jordan Davis, what is the date, John, again, for that fifth-year option? Is it May 2nd? I think
it's May 1st or May 2nd.
Okay, May 1st or May 2nd. So I'm going to make a prediction. You tell me who says yes, who says no. Jordan Davis, 3-year extension. They're going to work in the fifth-year option like they did with Devontae Smith, and they're going to give him $14 million a year. It's right in between Puna Ford at $9 million a year and Vita Vea at $17.75 a year. It's enough, I think, to get the deal done, or should be. Maybe it's not, but I would pay Jordan Davis that. If you're talking about $18 million, I think it's a different conversation for Jordan Davis. What do you think of my proposed deal for JD?
Yeah, I don't think Jordan is accepting it. Again, I think people get caught up in the immediacy of the moment, and he knows, well, not him necessarily, but although he is very smart, big leadership. I was just talking about leadership. He's the leader of that room, very young room. So he's very smart. But his agent knows where the salary cap is going. So it's not right now. It's about what's it going to be in those ensuing years? And I think, I don't think any way that gets it done. And that's the difficulty. Again, the 2-down versus 3-down conversation. You don't even want him playing 3 downs, I maintain. So it's like...
So if you pay the guy and the best version of himself is still not on the field that much.
Yeah, and you don't want him to be on the field that much, I maintain. That's the tricky part.
That means your defense is doing better. If he's on the field all day, it means they're getting first downs left and right.
Exactly. And it also it means you don't have good interior pass rushers. That's what that means. So on both instances, it's really difficult. I've been talking about this from day one. The Eagles drafted him, and they realize it more than most people, what he means to the defense, to the point where when they drafted him, I mean, nobody even knew what scheme they were playing until after they drafted him. That's how much big of a difference he made.
Right.
And by that, I mean, they were playing the Vic Fangio scheme and nobody knew it, because they rolled out the 5-man front so infrequently. And when they did, it was so non-effective because they had Javon Hargrave playing nose tackle because they had nobody else. It's very difficult. I do think they'll pick up the option. I don't think they want him to play under the option, and they want to get, but it's a difficult negotiation for all the things that we've talked about. But for those who, well, you got to play 3 downs and he's got to do this and he's got to do that. Be careful what you wish for, man.
Yeah.
But he's got to play more. And to Xander's point of, well, that means, 2nd and 10, is probably second and five or second and four. It's a very, and I use the word esoteric on the day of the draft. It's a very esoteric player. And when he's doing well, you're not on the field, which is really tough for people to wrap there. And I completely get as to why.
Esoteric was a great word choice by you on the draft day. It still stands today, a couple years later. John, rebuttal, counter me. 3 years, $14 million a year, 42, give him $28 million guaranteed, working that that fifth-year option as well. He's got security for the next 4 years. He's got over $35 million of guaranteed money. Counter me, Johnny Mac.
Well, I think you got to go up to that 18 to 20 million range. But again, if you look at it longer term, which the Eagles will do, and they have a history of doing that, it may look bad on day one, and all of a sudden it's a bargain in year two. And you do, that's also what the, you do wrap in the fifth-year option, so you get a break from that standpoint. They always do that. So I think if you look at it on day one, people say, well, you overpaid Jalen Hurts. No, you didn't.
No. His deal, I was waiting for, I'm waiting for Nicole Lynn to come knocking. She's already probably knocking.
Well, the point is at the time, how could Jalen Hurts be the top paid player in the entire history of the National Football League? Well, A, he was for, I think, 7 days.
Yeah.
And B, again, that's the way contracts work. And yeah, I mean, he's going to be immediately underpaid at $14 million right now. And then if you talk about 2 years down the road at that kind of number, I don't think that gets it done.
Well, you say underpaid, but wouldn't underpaid only insinuate if he was a top of the market player? Like, if you're not a top of the market player, then you're probably not underpaid, even if the top of the market is a lot more than you make.
Well, like, I don't put him in the same category, and I think the Eagles drafted him, so they don't put him in the same category. Like, he's not, and again, everybody puts him in the same category. You can go to Over the Cap or Spotrac or wherever you want to go, and they have them all lumped in. And, you know, Chris Jones is lumped in with, and Jeffrey Simmons is lumped in, and they're the highest paid guys, or whoever's up there, and Milton's now up there, and they're lumped in, and Jalen's lumped in. Plays a different fucking position. You know? So it depends how you look at it, and that's where the esoteric part of it comes in. And then would you like him to become more well-rounded, like Dexter Lawrence? Like Christian Wilkins. Yeah, I don't think he can reach that level. And that's why I focused on Vita. And it's the same as Trey McBride. So what's the difference? Everybody knows Trey McBride is not the best tight end. But as we speak here today on this show, he's the highest paid tight end in the history of the NFL. And he's a really good player. So you're sitting there, and Vita Bay is your comp from the standpoint of a pure nose tackle. And he's making whatever, and I don't have the number in front of me, but it's near 18 from looking it up prior, I think. Well, then he's got to go above. That's just the way contracts work. All right. Unless the assessment in-house is like, all right, he's not one of the best nose tackles. Did the Eagles feel that way? Maybe they feel that way. I think coming off the playoffs, he actually impressed. I think it's probably the opposite, but we'll see soon enough. I mean, everything comes down to evaluation. But from the standpoint of, setting the market, that's his market. His market isn't Chris Jones or Jalen Carter. His market's Vita Vea. And he should be at the top of that market. Doesn't mean he's the best. Means he's up. And it means he's good. Like Trey McBride. He's Trey McBride at tight end.
Howie's team is looking at that Puna Ford contract like, no, Jordan, you're down like with this guy. Yes or no, John? Howie?
No.
Howie and the, yes or no? Howie and the team are scouring the mid-round players right now for a cheap nose guard replacement for Jordan Davis. A name that comes to mind, Ty Robinson, nose tackle out of Nebraska, projected in the third and fifth round. He's 6'6", 310. He's a true nose tackle. Are they looking to draft Jordan's replacement? Yes or no?
Potentially, but yeah.
You rode the fence on me.
probably not until day three, though. Again, they probably learned their lesson and the extent of, you know, it becomes difficult. It becomes like you're talking about a first round pick. You're talking all that factors into it, even though people like, you know, and I'm not picking on you, but you keep bringing up Puna Ford. Puna Ford ain't Jordan Davis from a standpoint. No,
Brian Pumper's giving me shit because I keep bringing up Puna Ford.
From the standpoint of just the pedigree, and I get, you know, people say, what does that mean? Well, he's 30, I think, as well. I mean, he ain't Jordan Davis. He's also
not Vita Vea, John.
It's the same thing as again, I'll go because Trey's most recent, Trey McBride. Trey's 25. Dallas Goedert's 30. I think if you talk to most NFL talent evaluators, they'll tell you right now, today, as we speak today, Dallas Goedert's still better than Trey McBride. But Dallas Goedert's not in the same conversation when it comes to contracts at this stage of his career as Trey McBride. Same thing with Jordan Davis and Puna Ford. They're not in the same conversation. Now, again, from the standpoint of the Vita Vea comparison, I'm not saying Trey McBride's better than George Kittle, but he's getting paid more because he's up. And George is probably knocking on the door in his agent right now. But, you know, as he gets agent,
the NFL are fucking broken. They really are.
That's the way it works, though.
Jordan, Vita Vea? Come on, man! Jordan's not Vita Vea!
No, he's Trey McBride.
I love that. Give me Ty. Abe, I'm with you. Give me Ty Robinson in the third.
Well, if they take a nose tackle, and again, not a defensive tackle, a nose tackle in the first 2 days, then you have your answer. They're not moving forward with Jordan Davis. Then it's ticking down. Then it's just a matter of when.
Exactly.
But then, yeah, if they draft a nose tackle on day one or day two, they're not going to do it day one. But even day two, yeah, then they probably made their decision. And they don't want to pay Jordan Davis what they would have to pay him.
It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
They're still going to be here this year, though.
Yeah. You know, I wonder how much stock they put into, like, do you upset the apple cart on defense with all those Georgia guys by moving on from Jordan? I'm not saying they're going to make their decision around that, but I think sometimes, you know, even me as you know, somebody who talks about football every day can forget about the human element. I'm not saying that they're going to, oh, just because you're friends with Jalen Carter, we're going to keep you here for $18 million. I'm not saying that. But do you think they think about that? Like, how do we handle this situation?
Well, you know, the other part of the Georgia guy and the two Georgia guys who are more difficult than the others, are interestingly the two leaders, Jordan Davis and Nakobe Dean. Those are the two guys you have questions about. Jordan, you know, people don't think he plays enough and all. We've been through it all. Nakobe more injury related after he proved himself as a player, but there's significant injury concerns now. And those are the two leaders of the group. And not only the two leaders of the group, arguably the two leaders of the front seven on defense. Now from the on-field leadership perspective and the meeting room leadership perspective. So that, you know, then Kaylee, guess what? Kaylee Ringo is going to get his opportunity. if he shits the bed, he shits the bed, and you go in a different direction. Lewis Cine's here. Guess what? Mm-hmm. Who cares? Now, Jalen Carter's in a different realm.
Right, a little bit different, but I understand what you're saying. They're not going to, yeah.
Now, Nolan Smith even is a different realm, you know. So it always hinges on performance. But
all right, well, here, listen to this then. Yeah, Jalen Carter. I got $38 million here. You think that's high or low?
What do you mean?
For what he's going to get next year.
What do you mean? Extension-wise?
Yeah, $38 million per year.
Oh, Jalen Carter.
Jalen Carter.
I still had Jordan Davis. I'm like,
Jalen Carter.
I'd have to look at where we are.
I think it's a little high for defensive.
It's a little bit too high. You don't have to go that high. Now,
the only thing I was wondering is if they would try and make him the highest paid player.
They will make him the highest paid defensive tackle.
I was thinking that's not highest paid non-quarterback, but then they'd have to jump.
No, they don't have to go. They don't have to go.
All right, so put him at what, $34 million?
Yeah, 34, 35, somewhere.
Okay, let's go 35. We'll go 35 there on Jalen Carter. Nolan Smith. Let's say Nolan Smith gets 10 sacks this year, 11 sacks. What do you got there? I got 24. How's that sound?
that's tough. I got to see what that looks like. You know,
but is my number in the right ballpark if he does produce as an edge?
At his age, yes.
Yes.
You're probably low.
I'm probably low. Produce. Exactly. That's what I was
thinking. However, again, I got to see what that looks like. If he's running into a bunch of sacks because of Jalen Carter, a lot of context to that. But generally, if you are a guy in his early 20s who's getting double-digit sacks, he's getting paid a shitload of money.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's put Nolan at 25. Let's put Jalen Carter at 35. Let's put Jordan Davis at $18 million. I'm at $78 million and three guys on my
defensive line. This is why the Eagles are doing what they're doing.
I know this. I'm just saying, even Jordan Davis is hard to fit into this equation. I have a hard time believing he's going to be above.
Well, he might be. He might be below the line. That might be. Yeah, that's a legitimate argument.
Keep in mind, everybody, N'Kobe Dean's still out there. I don't think they're going to pay him much. Quinyon Cooper are still out there. Reed Blankenship is still out there. Zach Bourne obviously got paid. Moro Ojomo, if he has a great season, he's probably gone. You still have another edge rusher. I mean, I don't know, John. Jordan Davis might be on the outs if you're talking about $18 million.
He might be, yeah. You know, and you got to make some difficult decisions. And that it seems like they've made the decision they're going to pay Reed Blankenship whatever it takes. They've made the decision they're going to extend Cam Jurgens. We'll see what it looks like. They've made the decision, the obvious decision, that they're going to extend Jalen Carter when the time comes. A little bit of time still to wiggle when it comes to Nolan and even Quinyon and Cooper. But obviously, if they continue at the trajectory, I mean, Quinyon, if he continues to play well as an outside corner, you see what the outside corners are getting.
Yeah, baby, they're up to 30 M's.
I mean, this is the whole reason the Eagles are making these difficult decisions, because they see what's coming.
Right.
And of all of what's coming, Jordan Davis might be the most difficult decision of all. And I've been talking about that forever.
And we're less than a month away from getting some clarity on it, right?
Well, that date's overblown, other than
well, they have to at least do something. So, like, if they pick up the fifth-year option, we all know the Eagles are probably not going to go into that fifth-year option, because you can't manipulate the cap room. I mean, let's be real. Howie Roseman just dropped four void years on a one-year deal with Josh Uche for $1 million. If you think he's going to pay Jordan Davis $12 million on a fifth-year option where you can't.
No, but that's what I mean. So if they decline the option, which I don't think they will, but we'll see. They could.
I think they'd pick it up and then try and work a deal.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to – and it doesn't guarantee if you're not – all it guarantees is you make the player a little bit happier. in the fact that he understands that he's going to be here. Where if you decline it, it doesn't mean he's not playing this year. He's playing this year, but it's and teams have worked out extensions even when you decline it. But the Eagles generally don't want to go down that route because they want happy employees and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, if you get and he has to play out the fifth-year option, that's what the Eagles don't want to do. Because, as you mentioned, they don't want it from a salary cap standpoint.
Right.
Not that it's that difficult to do it from a salary standpoint, even with the spike. More of a cap issue than anything else. And then it used to be, you know, you could, back in the day, you could exercise the fifth-year option and then take it off. Now there's guaranteed for injury-type guarantees. But there's a whole bunch of time for you to work shit out. And that's why I think they're going to do it, because I think they want happy employees. And right now, he's a big part of the plan for next season. The issue comes after next season. And that's when you got to make the really, really, really difficult decision. And already the salary cap's going to go up another 20%.
Yeah. That's a big part of this too, which the Eagles know and they play into that, which is
so something. If they could get him for your number, I'm sure they'd be thrilled by that. I say, if they can get him at your number, I'd say, yeah, why not? Do it. Bang.
How much is the pendulum going to shift, John, in the next 2 years, 1 year, 3 years on? They pay the entire offense right now. They do nobody. If you think about that, the number one defense in the NFL last year, the only guy who really was paid on that defense was Slay and Sweat, and both of them took pay cuts.
Yeah,
I mean, both of them were underpaid for what they did.
N'Kobe Dean, it's going to change.
Jordan Davis, rookie contract. Jalen Carter, rookie contract. Nolan Smith, rookie contract. Ajomo, rookie contract. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, I guess he got paid. Reed, unrestricted free agent. Quinyon Coop, rookie contract. Nobody got paid. So how much is the pendulum going to shift, John, from all offense to, is it going to be 50-50? Is it going to be more defense because of the future? Like, this is an offensive football team. They prioritize that. How much do you anticipate that pendulum shifting in terms of allocation of resources?
If all these guys continue to play at a high level, there's a lot of guys leaving.
Yep. That's sort of a
now, generally, some of that stuff will take care of itself. And by that, I mean, guys are going to age out. Let's be honest. I mean, as good as Saquon is, he's a running back. Is he going to be relevant in 3 years?
Yeah. It's unlikely.
Some guys are going to age out. Some guys are not going to play up to the level we think they're going to play up to. So some of it will take care of itself. But you don't want that. What you want is everybody to play at the highest level. And if everybody plays at the highest level, what happens this year is what's going to happen down the road. You're going to lose certain guys. You're going to have to do the same demarcation line. All right, this guy's foundational. Jalen Carter, we're keeping him. All right, Jordan Davis, you're not. You got to go. N'Kobe Dean, you're not. You got to go. Same thing. But I can't imagine this particular organization, even though they won the Super Bowl with the number one defense, I can't imagine them short shifting the offense. I can't imagine. The hope is, again, as guys age out, Lane Johnson's got to retire at some point. You know, are you going to find another right tackle that's going to the Hall of Fame? No, but maybe you find a Cam Jurgens level young player, and he's on a cost-effective deal for 4 years. So that's why they keep talking about it. They got to draft well. They got to keep the churn. And that's constant. But yeah, guys are going to age out, so some of it's going to take care of itself. But I can't imagine that this organization and the way the league is played. You can point to outliers all you want. Anecdotal evidence is anecdotal evidence. It is harder to win the way the Eagles won than it is the conventional way. that they've tried to win in the past. I can't imagine they short shipped the offense to paid defenders. In other words, turning it into what happened this year.
Yeah.
You got to pay the quarterback, number one.
Well, that's a given.
Again,
interesting, man. These next couple of years, though, John, are going to be very interesting to see because as fun as it is to draft so well, create some other problems. Again, they're rich people problems, but they're still problems as we talk about here on the show. So good stuff there with Jordan Davis. We'll see what happens with him. John, last thing I want to do, and then we'll read the Super Chat. Abe, I'm excited to do your Super Chat on the Mount Rushmore thing. But, John, any updates on the top 30 visit tracker? We ran down the names yesterday. We were at 14 out of 30. I know the reports kind of don't come. Like, you don't just like, hey, they visited with this guy, so tell the reporters and put it out. It's not that. Have we gotten any more updates on the top 30 visits?
No, we are at 14, okay. To my knowledge. Nobody else. I could have missed one, but I don't think I've missed one.
I looked yesterday and this morning. I didn't see any, so I don't think we missed any.
Yeah. So, you know, that means there's 16 we don't know, so there's still plenty. But you see the trends, and there's a whole lot of offensive linemen, a whole lot of defensive front people.
Yep.
And Howie, again, has been very honest. He said, you know, we're probably going to go back to what we typically do in the draft. So, again, you're picking 32nd. So you're always at the mercy of other teams unless you're picking number one. It's just a matter of how many other teams. They're at the mercy of every other team picking last, at least to start the process. You know, you got to see how the board falls, and if there's a player at a position outside of what they want to address that's better, they'll take them. But odds are, considering the depth of the defensive front position, that's where I'd be most focused early in the draft.
Good stuff there. We'll see how it all works out for the NFL draft. 20 days away from that round one. And then 21 days away from round two and three on day two. All right. So 3 weeks from today will be that day two. And we'll be 3 weeks from today at this time, we'll be talking about what happened in the first round. Maybe they traded out. Maybe they picked somebody. Who knows? But we'll be talking about that in 3 weeks, just 3 weeks from now. So good stuff there. Let's get to our Super Chat here. Abe says,
at KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.